Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. Well, there are very many meditation teachings available these days. Very, very many. And it can end up being difficult to choose what kind of meditation we think would be good for us. What kind of meditation object or method, or no object or no method, or effort or no effort, or yeah, quite confusing. But, some very clear guidelines there in the Buddha's teaching which can help us, and the one that I particularly like is a sutta where the Buddha describes the meditation process like a silversmith, goldsmith, and he says that what is needed is in practice is three qualities of equanimity, effort and concentration, these three. And that if you give this analogy a try, then this concentration is the heating of the metal, make it soft and malleable. Now this is the concentration aspect, energizing the mind, making it malleable, pliable. And there's the effort element, which is fashioning the metal, shaping it, and then there's the equanimity element, which is the observation of the whole process, looking on the whole process, being able to get perspective on it, seeing whether the metal is too hot or too cool or whatever, too malleable, not malleable enough, too soft, too hard. And whether the mind is too soft or too hard or too quick and fluid, or looking for balance overall, and we're looking to keep our mind in balance one way or another, balance between being too peaceful or too restless and active, or balance between being too cool or too warm or too anything. Naturally the mind, it becomes peaceful, then it will steady into a state that's in the middle there, which is not just a kind of boring nothing state. It's a very bright state. You realize that the extremes of the mind are not so pleasant, agitated or dull, they don't feel so good. The mind is allowed to settle in its natural state in the middle, and then this is where the practice bears most fruit, and our hearts and minds. So these three factors of concentration, effort and equanimity need to be in balance. So we need to be able to look on at things, observe, just be the observer of our minds and hearts, not react to what's going on in our minds, keep us clear and able to function, equanimity, and we need to be able to make an effort. It's the effort to arouse wholesome states of mind and to abandon unwholesome ones, to sustain wholesome states, to take our minds in a skillful direction in one way or another. Tons of different ways of doing this. We get quite sophisticated about this if we wish. If we do this too much, then we become restless, and then there's a concentration which allows us to energize the mind and make it strong and give it a good rest. So if we begin with practice, this is what our mind needs, is really just a good rest to start with. And we start off feeling bright and gather the strength and energy into the mind better than sleep. So often the first thing we can do when we begin to practice is we can substitute meditation for sleep. As we become better meditators, we need less sleep, so we have more time to meditate. We can get up earlier, beginning a little bit earlier, meditate. If this starts to go well, then we'll start to naturally wake up earlier and earlier. We don't have to make some big determination, oh, I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. We'll naturally need less sleep. I mean, it's a positive cycle we can find ourselves in through our practice. So these three need to be in balance, and they will often be somebody who will have a strength. You know, each of us probably has a strength in this respect, either good at observing, keeping being steady, the observer of phenomenon. I think we tend to be rather passive, or we can be overly effortful, and tend towards restlessness, or we can be overly concentrated or peaceful. We tend to get dozy, sleepy. And this happened to even the most advanced meditators in the Buddha's day. The greatest of his disciples would fall asleep, for example. Mahamoggallana was caught falling asleep in his meditation by the Buddha. So not just the beginners that have this kind of problem. In practice, there tends to be a way in which more experienced people's practice can go astray, is that they're attached to one or other of these qualities as being the one that they're good at, and ignore the others, and if your practice goes a bit out of whack over the years. So in the beginning, to try to get this in balance in some way, and then try and maintain this. But often at the beginning, it's good to just work to your strengths, so whatever teaching you resonates with you. Somebody's emphasizing equanimity, observing, watching. And if that resonates with you, that's probably a good thing for you to do. If they're emphasizing concentration, that resonates with you, that's a good thing for you to do. But especially it's good to keep going at the one thing for a while, not to keep chopping and changing. Otherwise, it's like trying to do 2 degrees. One of the great teachers I met said, you don't have to keep changing, or you end up, it's like you're trying to do 2 degrees at the same time and you never finish either of them. Or you're trying to write 2 theses or something. You end up not finishing. In other words, you end up not getting the result from one or the other because you keep doubting and chopping and changing. So this is also an area where a teacher can be very useful, is to have a talk with a teacher to decide on a meditation object for you. Most people who have been around for a while in practice will have their kamatana, or their personal object of meditation, that they go back to over and over. It's a kind of bread and butter or something like that, or the one that they'll kick in with if they're in trouble. So if you start losing your temper, say, or something like that, and then very often the best way out is just to go straight to your meditation object. And if you cultivated it enough, if it's powerful enough, you stuck to it and kept it going long enough, then it will just cut through something like that. You have anger arising, and then you cut in there with Buddha, 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 for example. Then you can just cut straight through the anger and control your actions. So you're not making karma with it, making poor bad karma. We have to be really practical here, isn't it? And just people would see that, wonder about that, and think, well, you're kind of running away from something or suppressing something, the kind of modern parents. They can be afraid of that, or you don't want to go suppressing your emotions, that's not very good, it doesn't feel very good, not very good. But if it prevents you bashing somebody over the head or something, it's a good thing to do. If it's you making poor karma, then it's a good thing to do. Crisis management. You have to be very practical in this respect. So I said this model has been very useful to me over the years to keep looking back on my practice and thinking, looking at things, how am I doing, how's it going, and am I in balance here? I've got these things in balance, or sometimes I get a bit attached to the concentration process, or just get into making an effort of one kind or another and can't stop, can't relax, can't let things be. All these things can happen, you know, just in our ordinary lives as well, of course, not just in the meditation process. But often it's the meditation, that, isn't it, that shows us where we've gone out of balance. Are we too laid back, or are we too effortful, or are we too detached, not detached enough? Are we kind of withdrawn into this kind of looking down from the sky at things, too detached, or are we not detached enough? Do we just get swept away by things? Do we need a little equanimity to rest in, just to observe? Is that lacking? Or we become lazy, not really making an effort to arouse ourselves, arouse wholesome states. Take our mind towards the good things, good states, or to get out of the difficult ones. Sometimes if we get good at observing, we can get lazy and just watch, rather than make an effort. And if we have patience, then we can be doing both, can't we? We can be watching, looking on, and making an effort at the same time, if we have patience. So I offer this one for your reflection.